thank you all very much. It's very pleasant to receive a reception of that kind. I've got a lot to say. I think I'll get right to work. I should like to begin the address this evening with a terrifying statement about my work. For any of you who may have some acquaintance with it, I suspect that most of you who know of my work associate me with what has been published about the nature and management of value systems. Now, this is basically correct, but it is a somewhat misleading perception of what my work is all about. It is basically correct because there are in the literature publications of mine on values and on management. But it is misleading for three reasons. The publications on values are a derivative of a much larger area of interest. They are a part of my studies of the evolution over time and in space of the adult human psychosocial systems. So to comprehend what I have said about values, one must understand the totality out of which the work on values has developed, namely adult human psychosocial systems. And the second thing is that what has been published under my name is not completed work. It was not completed work at the time that it was published. It is more work in its developmental phase, more preliminary effort than a finished product. Thus, errors have been made, some larger, some smaller, but errors were made. And I certainly would not say today some of the things I said in earlier publications. Thirdly, and I'll just say this in a simple statement, what was submitted for publication was not always faithfully put into print by the editors of journals. Therefore, I need to explain how what I shall say tonight relates to what has been published. Now, some of my efforts over the years contain some preliminary conceptualization of adult human psychosocial systems. Some of the preliminary thought has been retained over the years. Some has been discarded because with time it appeared that it aborted. Some of it has been revised as new data forced reconsideration. So my earlier publications reflect more the laborious process of seeking to come to terms with some data which I had collected in studies than the ideas which I shall express tonight. Thus, those of you who have had previous contact with my work may be faced with a bit of a difficult situation. You may find tonight much that is familiar, but also some that is quite different from what I said before. The underlying conception of hierarchically ordered emergent psychosocial systems, including values, has been retained throughout the years. But the specifics of my conceptualization have changed, and the underlying neurostructural, biochemical, life problem, double helix explanation of their source may be new to most of you. During the years of preliminary publication, some of my early sketches and interpretations have been attractive to others. So attractive that some have been stimulated to do research within those preliminary conceptions. Thus, I have been urged to hurry into print or to lecture more about the details of my thinking. I'm grateful for this, but grateful as I am for the acceptance of my earlier work and for the flattering request for more of my thinking, I must state what it has done. This very acceptance, use of, and call for more of my ideas than I was early of the mind to scatter has caused me to delay until I could find in my own mind that my thinking was at least basically conceived. I had to wait until the basic bugs in the conceptualization were worked out, lest further publication compound the problems which were developing as I examined and re-examined my data. But tonight, I am ready. And tonight I shall present for the first time in any forum what my data says adult human behavior is all about. And let me begin by posing a question for you. What is adult psychological development all about? What really does research show it to be? Now, there are several answers to this question which appear in the literature. And I should like to speak of a few of them, specifically five, to put my words in the proper psychological context. One of the explanations is that which is promoted by the psychoanalysts and by some religionists. It is an explanation which says that psychological development is the lifelong task of transforming human perversity into decency. The task of implanting into the person ego structures where id has been. It is the task of transforming human sinfulness into morality. A second answer sees the problem of psychological development to be of quite a different order. It is the conception of B.F. Skinner and the behaviorists, and they see the task of adult psychological development to be twofold. It is to search through the medium of well-controlled experiments for the procedures for the proper way for human beings to live and for the rules that detail how to condition them to live that way. A third group also sees the process of development to be a search, but it is not a search for the proper ways to live and how to teach a person to live that way. It is a search for one's self, for one's unique character as a human being, a search for what one is as a human and for the ways to express that to its fullest potential. This is the point of view of the humanist. A fourth point of view is presented by John Stambaugh, former president of Stanford University. In words which say, the historical cycle of the body politic indicates that man progresses from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to freedom, from freedom to abundance, then comes the waning. From abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to apathy, from apathy to dependency, right back into bondage again. And Radoslav Stanov of Rice University presents a fifth point of view, and his words say that the twilight in which we seem to be moving today is the twilight not before dark, but before dawn. That we are reaching the end of the dark days of materialism, and that the modern mind, without surrendering the tools by which it has achieved mastery of nature, will now more fully vindicate its own self-recognition and a more human life, individual and social. Now, a reasonable question is, which of these five clearly different points of view is closer to the facts as research shows them? Is it one, psychoanalytic point of view, two, the behavioristic, three, the humanistic, four, the very pessimistic point of view of Stambaugh, or the much more optimistic one of Radoslav Stanov? Well, my answer from my data is quite clear. Stanov's hope is much closer to the facts of human development than all the others are. His hope, according to my data, is not a futile hope. It is an overwhelming probability. But why do I say this? Why do I say that Stanov's hope more closely represents the nature of human development than all the others do? Well, I say it because the data from my studies has forced me to this conclusion. The data I've gathered from my study has required me to think of adult human development, including the development of value systems, from a point of view not too far away from that which Stanov speaks of. I call it the emergent cyclical, phenomenological existential, double helix, level of existence conception of adult human behavior. And I'm sorry, I have to call it that because it is all of that. This model of adult human psychosocial development derives from research on conceptions of maturity produced by biologically mature adults. I collected, collated, and analyzed conceptions of maturity semi-annually for 9 years. Each year I had a non-involved group of judges classify the character of the conceptions of maturity. The results of their work showed that 60% of the conceptions over the 9 years, 18 different groups of people, produced relatively pure types of conceptions of maturity. And it said that these conceptions of maturity fell into two large classes of three subtypes each. There was an express self conception of maturity. Three subtypes of express self conceptions of maturity. There were three sacrifice self subtypes. The express self subtypes were express self, but not at the expense of others. Express self calculatedly, but never so blatantly as to raise another's ire, and express self to hell with others. And there were three sacrifice types. Sacrifice self now to the ways of the times in order to get now. Sacrifice self now to get later. And sacrifice self forever to the ways of one's elders. Now I then study, without going into detail how it was done, whether or not these conceptions of maturity changed over time. I had a setup whereby I was able to collect the original conceptions of maturity, then put them through some experiences, and then see whether or not their conceptions of maturity changed. And I found that some people did not change their conceptions of maturity, no matter what the experiences were that they had. Some people changed their conceptions of maturity, but only in a peripheral sense. That is, if a person had a sacrifice self now to get later conception of maturity, as the Judaistic people would think of sacrificing self now in order to get something later, the person might be converted to the Catholic conception of sacrificing self now to get later, or might be converted to a Protestant conception of sacrificing self now to get later, but not changed centrally. I found also that some people change centrally. They change from thinking about maturity as an express self way of behaving to a sacrifice self way of behaving. Or they thought in terms of changing from a sacrifice self way of behaving to an express self way of behaving. So I proceeded to try to figure out, A, if the express self was changing to a sacrifice self, and the sacrifice self was changing to an express self, was there any order in this change? And what I found was this. The express self to hell with others always changed to sacrifice self now to get later. When the sacrifice self now to get later changed, it always changed to express self calculatedly, but never blatantly. When the express self calculatedly, but never so blatantly as to raise others' ire changed, it changed to sacrifice self now to the ways of the times in order to get now. When that one changed, it always changed back to this one. Express self, but not at the expense of others. the sacrifice self to the ways of one's elders, chained to sacrifice, to express self to hell with others. So, I had data which said that the order of the conceptions in relation to one another is that E1, the express self one, always changes to the sacrifice one. Sacrifice one changes to express self two, express self two to sacrifice two, and so on. This said to me that people's thinking about what is mature adult human behavior changes in an ordered hierarchical fashion, alternating between the idea that one should express self and one should sacrifice self. From this I concluded that the conceptions of maturity represented in some manner or another psychosocial conceptions of life and how to live as a human being. They represented, in other words, basic paradigms for human existence. And I concluded that they were hierarchically ordered, that they emerged in the order E1, S1, E2, S2, so on. When this occurred, I then studied the people whose conceptions fell into each of the types, but never changed, under the assumption, which I think was borne out with time, that if a person never changed his or her conception of maturity, that this was a relatively pure type of conception of maturity. So I observed these people who had each of these conceptions. I studied them in the naturalistic world. In other words, I snooped into their lives without their knowing. I watched them wherever they were, whatever they were doing. I'd go to parties and sit and watch how they conducted themselves at parties, etc. and on. I'd watch them at the dining table and see what kind of games they played, things of that sort. I administered psychological tests to them, many, many psychological tests. I contrived situations for them to experience and collected from these contrived situations both quantitative and qualitative data. When I started to look at the data, you never saw such a god-awful mess in your life. It was incredible. It was so confusing, so full of conflict and contradiction, that I had to work from 1961 to 1976 to really make sense out of it. It was just that unbelievably confusing, and you shall see why in a few moments. So tonight, what I shall do is present formally for the first time what I think my studies have taught me about the nature, the development, and the management of adult human behavior by starting you off with Exhibit 1, what the research that I did says a model of mature psychosocial behavior should represent. It says that mature psychosocial behavior should consist of hierarchically ordered, prepotent, upwardly spiraling psychosocial systems 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This is what the data said. The data said that these systems must alternate their focus in a cyclic, oscillating, dominant, subordinate fashion. The data said the first system should be undifferentiated in respect to focus. That differentiation begins in the second and alternates thereafter between focus upon the inner subjective world and how to come to know and come to peace with it in the even-numbered systems 2, 4, and 6, and focus upon the external world and how to control and expand power over it in each odd-numbered system after the third in systems 3, 5, 7, etc. Then it said that cerebral dominance in the even-numbered systems is by the right hemisphere of the brain. In the odd-numbered systems, beginning with the third, cerebral dominance is shown by the left hemisphere of the brain. The data showed that the alternating systems show little mean variation from system to system for some psychological dimensions. As you move up from behavioral system 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5, there is essentially no difference in the mean level of intelligence, any way you compute intelligence, from the first system to the second system to the third system to the fourth system to the fifth to the sixth, and so on. And it said that a human's temperament, the mode and manner by which he goes about his business of using his or her abilities, does not change from system to system. Temperament is a characteristic which remains constant in the behavior of the individual over time. Then it said that certain psychological dimensions, such as ideological dogmatism and objectivity, emerge with a particular system in the hierarchy of systems, and then decreases or increases systemically in subsequent systems. Dogmatism does not appear in human behavior until the fourth system comes to be. Then, when dogmatism appears as a way of thinking by a human being, in each subsequent system, it decreases. It goes down. Objectivity appears first in the fifth system. Human being does not show the characteristic of objectivity in thinking until he arrives at the fifth level of human existence. And then, in the seventh item here, that certain psychological dimensions, such as guilt, also emerge at a particular point in the hierarchy. People who live life in a first level way, a second level way, a third level way, cannot feel guilt. They do not feel guilt. Guilt develops when man moves into his fourth way of being as a human being. And when it comes in, the person feels guilty, then in the next system, the guilt almost disappears. That's in the fifth system.